These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
A problem which arises from the fact that the Parsha of Noach does not begin at the beginning but in the middle. By that I wish to say the following. Our usual perception of why it is that Noach was saved is because the rest of the world were Rishoyim, and as the Torah announces at the beginning of Parshas Noach, Eile Toledos Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik, Tomim Hoyo V'Dorosov. So the usual understanding is that Noach is saved because he is a tzaddik, and as a tzaddik he is deserving to be spared whatever calamity befalls the rest of the world who are Rishoyim. However, if we go back now to the end, very end of Parshas Bereishis, you will see there that a completely different reason is given as to why Noach is saved. The concluding pasuk in Parshas Bereishis reads, the Noach Motzo Chein B'Yenei Hashem, which translated loosely into English means Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But what it certainly means is that Noach was saved because of Chein, which is certainly beyond the letter of the law, meaning he did not deserve to be saved. It was only because Motzo Chein B'Yenei Hashem, that is the reason why he was saved. Not because he was a tzaddik. So we have to discover now exactly what does this mean. That the fact that Noach is described as a tzaddik tomim is totally irrelevant, apparently, to the fact that Noach was saved from the Mabul. There are a number of answers that I'd like to offer to this particular question. The first approach to this inyan is to be found in the commentary of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh at the end of Parshas Bereishis. The psukim read as follows. Pasuk Vav. Vayinochem Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted ki aso es ha'adam v'oretz, that he had created man in the world. Vayisatzei velibo, and he mourned, he was sad. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, emche es ha'adam asher borosi, I will eradicate man whom I have created, me'al p'nei ha'adamah, from off the face of the ground, May Adam ad behema, both man and animal, ad remes viadop hashamayim, or insect or fowl, ki nichamti, because I regret, ki asisim, that I have made him. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh makes the following observation. Pasuk Vav says, vayinochem Hashem ki oso es Adam b'oretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets, it's mentioned once. Why then would the Torah need to say again at the end of Pasuk Zion, Ki nichamti ki asisim, because I regret that I have created him. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh as follows. Hu trach lomar ki nichamti. It is necessary for the Torah to emphasize the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world, Ki nichamti ki asisim. Below he speak Bameshi Omar Besomuch, and the Torah was not content to leave us only with the one statement, Vayinochem Hashem ki oso es Adam b'oretz. Volomar. The reason why it had to be emphasized, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is the following. Shetam shi Omar emche, you have to know that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world is Letzad Shenichem Alasi Yosom, is because he regrets having created them. Lo litzad ma'aseyim horoyim. Not because they're wicked. the flood is not being brought as a punishment. The flood, says the Orachayim HaKadosh, is being brought because HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets the entire episode and wants to close the factory down. Nothing to do with punishment. The fact that people were evil brought about this feeling in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart. But if you want to know why the Mabul came on the world, it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sorry that he had started the whole human episode and decided to discontinue it. Lo litzad ma'aseyim horoyim, not as an act of punishment because of their evil deeds. So you'll ask me, so what is the difference if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world because he regrets having created man, or whether he decides to bring a flood on the world because people are wicked? L'mai nafkimine. What is the difference between these two approaches? Says the Or HaChaim. Ki yesh hefresh. There is a distinction. Im hakilyon yihye letzad ma'aseyim horoyim. If the extinction of man is to come about because of their evil deeds, yimotzeun, then it can very well be that there will be people there, shelo yischayavu kaliya, who are not deserving to be killed. Behem, and they can be, for instance, osam shelo higiyu leyonshin, those people who are so young that they do not yet come into the category where they are to be punished for their evil deeds. Because we know that Beis Din Shel Maalah does not bring individuals to account until they reach a certain age, whether it is 20, whether it is 13. If the bringing of this destruction was to be because the people themselves are wicked, that's the reason, that's the cause, then the righteous are saved. The ones who are not deserving to be punished are not involved. But the im yehye hakilyon letzad kinicham achem cotton the godel shom who bechlala gezeira. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to destroy the world because he regrets having opened up the world at all to humanity, when you close down a business, then the good employees and the bad employees all lose their job. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closing down. That is why the Torah had to say, Emcheh, I will blot out man, ki nichamti ki asisim, because I regret having made them, uletam zeh, and for this reason, einim lot. There is no one who has a claim to be saved, because it is not being brought as an act of punishment for wickedness, so that the righteous can come and say, but I'm righteous, I wasn't involved with them. We are talking about a destruction which is coming on the world as an act of discontinuing. And if that is the situation, then it has nothing at all to do with wickedness or righteousness. Filozeh, and for that reason, Omar takeh umiyad, it has to say immediately, aye bazeh, if so, so why is Noah going to be saved? The answer is, v'noach motzochein b'yenei Hashem, meaning he had a special place in his heart for Noah. Perush, meaning, lo litzad ma'asov. He wasn't saved because he was a tzaddik. Because tzaddik has nothing at all to do with the destruction that is coming about through the Mabul. Ki bebechinas hachazora shechozor Hashem mibriyas avodom. Because in the context of the destruction which came about through the flood, lo yatzilenu heyoso tzaddik. The fact that he is a tzaddik is not going to be any reason why he has a claim to survival. Therefore you have to be told he had no claim. So why was he saved if he had no claim? Motzo chen velo micha'o. Hashem had a special place in his heart for him, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared his life. The ein mizeh hochochol omar. Ah, you say to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a special place in his heart. Does that mean he was a person with no saving graces whatsoever? And the only reason why he survived was that he had chen. But mibechinas his own personality, he was not anybody special. No. don't conclude that. The aim is there, hochocholomar, kilo hoyotzadik. Do not immediately conclude from the fact that Noach Motzochein, that he was not a tzaddik of any description. Ki hagam shohoyot tzaddik, because you have to know that even though he was a tzaddik, lo satzilenu tzidikoso, his righteousness would not save him, elo bechinas hachein shehisig meyemtsoos bechinas hamitzvos. See, the Rachaim HaKadosh. The actual truth is, he was a tzaddik, but his tzidkes could not save him. So why do I need to be told then that he is a tzaddik? I mean, surely what should be crucial to me is, why is he saved? And the answer is chayin. If the reason why he is saved is chayin, alright, so it's nice to know that he was a good man, but why is it crucial to know that he was a tzaddik, Tomim? The answer, says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, is the following. Because the reality is, how did Noach find chayin in the eyes of HaKodesh Baruch? Was it just stam, as we say, he had a soft spot, but in emerson he had no saving graces? The emerson is, says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, that the chayin that Noach had in the eyes of HaKodesh Baruch Hu came about through the fact that there are certain mitzvot which when a person performs them, they lead to that person finding chayin in the eyes of Hashem. Which mitzvahs are they? Says the Or HaChaim, we don't know. Because if we knew, then everybody would run after those mitzvahs and they wouldn't keep the others, because when you're onto a good thing, what do you need to worry about the also ran? So therefore, the reason why it says that Noach was a tzaddik tomim is so that you should know, where did the chayin come from? The chayin came from the fact that Noach was a man who kept every mitzvah. Tzaddik tomim. And since he kept every mitzvah, therefore, of those mitzvahs, there are three or four or five, which also have the added advantage that they create a sense of chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards that individual. And you should know that the chayin came from Noach ish tzaddik tomim. That's why he concludes, ki yesh l'chol odas, because you have to know, ki yesh mitzvahs shetualotum hi, that there are mitzvahs which have the added advantage, lahamshich chayin al ha'odam, to cause the individual to be, as it were, surrounded with chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. O bechinas gimel o dalet mitzvahs yiduos. And that applies only to three or four mitzvahs. V'Hashem lo hodia to Elios ha-mitzvah. Aye, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know which are the mitzvahs? The reason is, Letam Shiyomru Zal, for the reason which the rabbis have said in Medrash Tanchuma, Sheyorutsu Kol Olam LeToelios, because the whole world would only run after those mitzvahs which were going to create a sense of chayin. V'zeh Noach Zocha U'motzah HaChayin. And therefore you want to know how Noach was Motzah Chayin B'Yenei Hashem? The answer is because he was a tzaddik tomim, and included in the corpus of mitzvahs that Noach was meticulous to observe, where some two or three or four mitzvot which create a sense of chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam shemo yagid chayin ki Noach chayin. Because Noach spelled backwards is chayin. So what we have is the following. I don't know what he means by that, I needless to say. That's something we could have worked out to think without him. It obviously has some idea, but I don't know. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, again let's just sum up his answer to our problem. The truth of the matter, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is that the mavul is not coming as an act of punishment. Now that's contrary to what we've always understood. It's not an act of punishment at all, to the extent that the righteous should be saved and the wicked should be punished. It is an act of discontinuance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided the world as a place for humanity was a mistake. And to use the phrase advisedly, let's call it a day. If that is the situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that humanity has had enough, or he's had enough of humanity, then what has righteousness got to do with it? We're closing down, and when you close down, it affects everybody. So therefore you have to know that were it not for the chayin which Noah had, he would have been destroyed because his tzidkis would not in any way have influenced a development and a destruction brought about for this cause and this reason. We are told that he was a tzaddik tomim, so that we should know that the fact that he found chayin should not lead us to believe that he was a person without any merit whatsoever. In fact, he was a tzaddik tomim. And number two, we should know that whatever chayin Noach found in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was in fact chayin, which was a result of his meticulous observance of all the mitzvot, three or four of which bring about chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh. That is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's answer. A different approach altogether is found in the Kosmos Or. You have it here, I'm not going to go through it inside. I just want to mention to you in brief what it is. First of all, you're entitled to know who the Kosmos Or is. The Kosmos Or is a collection of essays on Torah by one of the greatest poskim of the past 300 years. And he is known by his tshuvas, known as Ponim Meiros. He was a nephew of the Shach, and he was an ancestor of one of the great Rosh Hashivas of this century, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So the Ponim Meiros also has descendants who are actually living in this city as well. He was one of the greats. Says the Ponim Meiros as follows. As I say, I'll just give you his approach and then we move on to Reb Velbo. The Ponim Meiros says like this. He also has the same conclusion that Noach is saved not because of his righteousness, but because of chayin. And his question is the same as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Why does he need chayin? Why is his righteousness not sufficient to save him from calamity? Says the Ponim Meiros as follows. On the words Vatisha Chayis Ha'oretz, and the world became corrupt, Rashi B'Shem Chazal indicates that we are speaking about Avodah Zorah and Gilui Aroyos, immorality and idolatrous worship. Says the Ponim Meiros, Chazal tell us that whenever there is a punishment about to be brought on the world, as a result of the fact that there are people who are involved either in Avodah Zorah or in Gilui Aroyos or in both, the phrase that is used by Chazal is Andar Lemusia Voliolam, an indiscriminate punishment comes to the world, the Eino Mavchin Bein Tzadik L'Rosho. And that punishment, as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger at the prevalence of Avodah Zorah and Gilui Aroyos, is a punishment which is so fierce that it is indiscriminate. Eino Mavchin Bein Tzadik L'Rosho. Both the righteous and the wicked are equally destroyed. Therefore, says the Ponim Meiros, Noach was not saved because he was a tzaddik. Because, unfortunately, the Averos that we are speaking about are such that when punishment comes, it is indiscriminate and both tzaddik and rosho are destroyed. The only way in which Noach was saved was because the Noach Motzo Chayin B'Yenei Hashem. A special act of grace. And he would like to suggest the following. Noach Motzo Chayin B'Yenei Hashem. Noach was saved because of Chayin. Aye, everybody knows, as is mentioned in the next pasuk, Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'Doyroisov Esu Elokim Ishalech Noach. That Noach was a tzaddik tomim, so why was the fact that he was a tzaddik tomim not sufficient for him to be saved in his own right? Because, says the next pasuk, Batishocheis ha'oretz lifnei ha'elokim. And as Rashi says, Loshon ervo v'avodah zorah. Because the world was filled with avodah zorah and shvichas tomim, his tzidkis alone was not sufficient to save him, but he was saved only because v'noach motzo chayin b'yenei Hashem. What I want to do now is to move on to the third and final approach to this particular problem that I want to bring this evening, and that is the approach of Red Velvet. And he again is faced with the problem. Why is it that Noach is not saved because of his own righteousness, or is he? Right? Let's see. He brings a Rambam. The Rambam reads as follows, in Hilchos Teshuvah. Kol echod v'echod mibnei ho'adom yesh lo zechios v'yavonos. Every human being has good points and bad points. Nobody's perfect, except ourselves, that is. Nobody's perfect. Okay. Now, mi shezichu yosov yeseiros el avonosov tzaddik. A person whose good deeds exceed his bad deeds is not perfect, but he's called a tzaddik. Mi shezichu yosov yeseiros el avonosov tzaddik. Mi shi avonosov yeseiros al zichu yosov rosho. And a person whose averos are more than his good deeds, he's called a rosho. Mechzele, mechzele beinoni. If he's 50% either way, then he's called beinoni, your average Jew. Or, dare we say, your middle of the roader. Bechein hamedina. And so it would be with a country or a city. Im hoyu zechuyos kol yoshevehom merubos alavonoseyem, hareiz et tzadekes. If the number of its righteous inhabitants is more than its sinful inhabitants, it's called a righteous medina. Bechein kol olam kulo. And so it is with the world. If you've got more righteous people, it's a righteous world. If it's less righteous, it's a sinful world. Adam shi avonosov merubim al zechuyosov miyad humeis pidisho. If a person has more bad deeds than good deeds, he dies. Bechein medino shi avonosov merubim. And if you have a medino that has more bad inhabitants than good inhabitants, he obedis. It's destroyed. The implication in that last statement is that if you have a city that has more bad inhabitants than good inhabitants, it's destroyed, and not only are the bad inhabitants destroyed, but the good inhabitants as well. Miyati Yovedis. So what happens to the tzaddik in such a city? Is the Rambam telling us that he gets caught too, and he is destroyed? Reb Velvel says, I note in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah that there is a very interesting distinction to be made. There is a tzaddik who does get caught up in the wickedness of the majority and is killed and destroyed with them. And there are tzaddikim who don't get caught up in the wickedness of the entire city and who are saved. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah reads like this. Oh, Marav Avobar Kahana. Rav Avobar Kahana says like this. Avraham Avinu is pleading for Sodom and Amorah and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Cholil olecho me'asus kadavor hazeh lehamis tzadik im rosho. Far be it from you to kill the righteous with the wicked in this city. Says the Gemara, V'hokisiv v'hichrati mimecho tzadik v'rosho. The Navi says, when punishment comes on an evil city, the tzaddik and the rosha are destroyed, answers the Gemara, that's the tzaddik she'eno gomor. Abul the tzaddik gomor, no. A tzaddik who is not a tzaddik gomor, but who is defined as a tzaddik because his good deeds are in the majority. Unfortunately, if we're dealing with a city that has more bad inhabitants than good inhabitants, he gets destroyed with them. But if he's a tzaddik gomor, then even if the majority of the inhabitants are evil, he is saved. Says Reb Velvel, I know why Noach was saved. Because even though the majority of people in the world were evil, but it says by Noach not that he was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik tomim. And a tzaddik tomim is a tzaddik gomor. And the Gemara in Avodah Zorah says that even though the majority of people in the city or in the world are going to be evil, as a result of which the entire world is going to be destroyed, but the tzaddik gomer, the complete tzaddik, gets saved. So Noah was saved because he was a tzaddik gomer.
Yeah, but it says,
V'noach, Matzachein, V'yenei Hashem. The saving came about through Chaim. It didn't came about because he was a tzaddik at all. How are we going to answer this question according to the Bible? We are going to answer it by looking at the words of the Sephora. On V'noach, Matzachein, V'yenei Hashem. The Sephora is genius. Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. Chayin was a cause for something to happen. Says the Sephora, V'noach motzo chayin, lahatzil gam bonov ubenosav. Noach personally, as an individual, was saved because he's a tzaddik tomim, because he's a tzaddik gomor, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. A tzaddik gomor does not get caught up, even if the majority of the world are sinful. But we have to remember and remind ourselves, it's not only Noach who was saved. It's Shem, it's Ham, it's Yefes, it's his wife, it's their wives. We find no mention whatsoever that they are a tzaddik or a tzaddik gomor or anything. So how did they merit to be saved? Noach merited to be saved because v'noach ish tzaddik tomim hoya b'dorosov. Why did his children and his wife and their wives merit to be saved? Because v'noach motzachi. Lo mipnei shehoya roi lekach. Not because he deserved that they should be saved in his zechus. Aval al tzad chanino zichohu hokel yisporach lozeh. He only merited that they be saved because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a soft spot in his heart for Noah. Not that he deserved that they should be saved in the zechus of his righteousness. And he brings the most amazing posuk in Yechezkel to verify that Noach was the type of tzaddik who would not have any reason to claim that other people should be saved in his achus. Because the pasuk in Yechezkel reads like this, even if the following three people were to live in a city, Noach, Daniel, and Iyuv, Chayoni niyum Hashem Elokim, as I live, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imbonim v'imbonos yatzilu, their righteousness would not be sufficient to have their children, their sons and daughters saved in their merit. They're not that sort of tzaddikim. Why? Why would they not merit, if they're such wonderful people, why would they not merit to have people saved in their zechus? Heim olav adam yutzalu, only they themselves would be saved. Why? Bizeh kilo limdu estorom lodas es Hashem. Because they did not go out amongst their generation to teach them the good way to go. In other words, as the Sephora goes on to say, if Noah would have been a person who goes out to people and encourages them to repent and to live correct lives, then it is worthwhile for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save those people from destruction, in the confidence that even after other people are destroyed and they are spared, Noach will still work with them and eventually bring them back to the straight and narrow. But if Noach is a type of person who doesn't go out and involve himself with other people, then why should they be saved? They're always going to remain the same wicked people, because there's no one of righteousness who is going to go out amongst them and to bring them back to the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we have here is a most extraordinary observation of the Sephora. The Chayin had nothing at all to do with Noach himself. Noach was saved because he was a tzaddik tomim, as the Velvel says. The reason, says the Sephora, why Noach motzo Chayin, why he needed Chayin, was not in order that he himself be saved, but that he merit, as it were, to have his wife,
his sons and his daughters-in-law saved with him. It's a very, very major statement. Now, this, of course, brings us onto a whole literature. And I'm not going to become involved in it because we have to leave over something, Emir Hashem, for the years ahead. But it must be obvious that what we have touched upon here is the comparison with Noach and Avram Avinu. Noach is compared, as it were, in a bad light with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is a man who went out to people. Avram Megayeres Anoshim, Sol Megayeres Anoshim, as Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha. And Noach stayed at home. Solomon, I nafshi, my business, don't annoy me. And that's the Sephora. But all I want to do this evening, before we move on to other matters, all I want to do is to mention a thought which is brought by the Ksav Sofer, son of the Chassam Sofer. Ksav Sofer says like this, and it is something that requires a great deal of thought. I'm not going to go into it in detail. Each person will find an echo in his own heart. Says the Ksav Sofer, I look through Chazal and I look through the Mephoshim and I see a condemnation of Noach because he never went out amongst his generation and never rebuked them and never taught them and never sought to bring them back to the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ksav Sofer, I want to tell you that Noach was a clever man. He knew the times in which he lived. And he knew full well that if he would spend his time trying to save the world, he would have lost his own children too. Sofer, and what does it say about his children? They didn't turn out the way the father would have wanted them to turn out. As they state in Nach. So you're busy with everybody and your own mishpacha. You've got to get your priorities right. Don't let anybody tell you that you've got to go out to save the world. You've got to save your family. You've got to save your own sons and daughters. You can't be out every night at a committee and every day running around for a noble cause and expect your children to miraculously turn up into tzaddikim. Doesn't happen. And the emissaries that Rabbi Yaakov, in his commentary, Emesli Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he brings the Medrash. The Medrash says like this, Omar Rav Simon says, Motzino shehakodesh baruch hu oseh chesed imoho acharonim bezechus harishonim. We find that many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindnesses to a later generation because of the earlier generation. Says the Medrash, Uminayin Shahakodish Baruch Hu, Ose Im Harishanim, Bezechusu Acharonim. How do we know? Do we have a case which proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts kindly to an earlier generation because of a later generation? He says yes. V'Noach Mosa Chaim Be'enei Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem, says the Medrash, Be'ezah Zechus, Bezechus Toledosov, in the merit of his children. Says Rabbi Yaakov, what the Medrash talking about? That Noach found favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the merit of his children, that means his children were greater tzaddikim than he was. We don't find any mention that Shem was a tzaddik, Chaim was a chanishkin tzaddik. Yes, but we don't find it. We mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Noach Moshe Chaim, why? Bezechus his children. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you have to know that the Medrash means the following. Noach had a special place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart because in a generation the likes of which he lived in, he was able to keep his children on the straight and narrow. Bizechusu acharon. That is the source of Noach's chain, that he was able to bring up his children and to fight against the cheapness of the outside world, the cheapness of the street, the immorality of the society outside. Is you want to know, says the Medrash, V'noach Moshe Chaim Be'enei Hashem, why? Because he had the ability, in the midst of everything that was going on around, and we can imagine what type of a society it might have been, and in such a society he had the ability and the tenacity to be able to rear up his own children so that they kept in the ways to which he wanted them to be. So here we have a different picture altogether. And I think it is a picture which speaks to us a little more urgently than the fanciful comparisons between Noah and Abram. Because there, that's a bit of a stratosphere. I think it's right to keep our feet on the ground, as the Ksav Sofer would have us do, and to say to ourselves, yes, children, and then we talk about the rest of the world. And I found something similar in the writings of the Baal Akeid, of the Akeidas Yitzchok, of Rabbi Yitzchok Aramo. Rabbi Yitzchok Aramo says, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Kayam, says the Pirkei Avos, Sof Perek Aleph, Al Hadin Ve'al HaSholem Ve'al HaEmes. So he says, Sholem is Sholem Bayis, and Din is making peace between everybody in society. Sholem Bayis comes first, get your own house in order, and then Ve'al HaDin, then you go out and you start working on the world. How do I know that that's the order? He says, because at the beginning of Parshas Yitro, it reads, first of all, of Tzipora and her two children coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and they're being united. And only after they are together as a family, then does it go on to say, Vayehimi Mochros, Vayeshev Moshe, Lishpot Esha. He had to get his own family right, and when your own family is right, then you worry about the world. Says of Chaim Ozer Grodzinski Zatzal, one of the cleverest Yidden of this century. When I was a young boy, I set out to convert the whole world. When I got a little older, I decided maybe Poland would be enough. Then when I got a little older, I thought maybe Vilna would be an accomplishment. When I got older, I decided maybe my family would be an accomplishment. And as I got older still, I decided if I can convert myself, I'm doing a good job. We start off with the grandiose dreams. Very, very important to remember the priorities. So this is a little bit of a picture about what is happening in the life of Noah. Let me now move on to another theme about Noah. Let's bear a thought for the ark.
Okay.
Big ark. Huge, colossal. We have the dimensions. Let's see what the dimensions are. Pasuk says, well, Shalosh Meyot Amo Orech HaTeva, 300 cubits. 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits tall. Right, a cubit is about what, 22 inches? Let's say we're talking about 600 feet long, 100 feet wide, and 60 feet tall. Okay, voting for beginners. Okay, fine. Let's have a look at the Ramban. Right, the Ramban to this Pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes. Follow carefully. Again, information. Yodua, says the Ramban, it is well known, ki hachayos rabos meyot, that the number of wild beasts are many in the world. Umehen gedolos meyot, and amongst those wild animals there are many animals that are very large. Kilim, elephants, rahimim, rams, Zulassim, and others. The Horem is Horomei Salawar Tzraf Meyod. As far as crawling things are concerned, there's no end to them. Gamnei Opashamayim, Minim Rabim Elehem Mispor. And as far as fowl of the heaven is concerned, there's also any number of species. Ukamoshi Yomru Rabotinu, as far Chazal say in the Gemara Chulin, Meyav Yesrim Minei Opos Temeyim Yeshba Mizroch, there are 120 types of fowl, unclean fowl, in the yeast. The kulam min ayahim, and they're all a species of kite. That's from that family alone. Uli yofos tahorim ein mispar, as far as kosher fowl is concerned, is no end. Vehine yitzarech lahavi mikulam sheyolidu kamosam, and every single animal, every single fowl, every single insect had to be brought into the ark, so that they would be able to reproduce after the ark. The chasher tesof lechulam ma'achol asher yachel shana tamima, and you need food for a whole year for all these. Lo tachil osam hateva hazav. I'm sorry, they don't fit in the ark. Velo esher kiyotiva. They wouldn't even fit in 10 arks. Look closer. 200 yards long. You want to fit in all these items? Aval Hune, you have to know that the ark, if it did as it did, enclose all these aforementioned species, it's a nace. Hichzik muot es hamaruba. It is one of the cases where a small area was able to enclose a lot. So you say to me, so if it's going to be a miracle, so let him make a canoe in Gandik. Vim tomar. It's not my cash, it's the Ramban's cash. Not the word for canoe. Vim tomar. And if you will say to me, Yaseno Kitano, the Yismocha Lanesha there, so let him make a smaller ark. And rely on the miracle because he knows, you know, and I know that it's going to have to be a miracle anyway because that amount of animals, etc., etc., cannot be enclosed in such a small space. Ro Hashem Yisporach La'asoso Gedol. I have two answers. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately told him to make it large. Kedei Sheyiru Otso B'nei Doro, so that it would take him a long time to make it. His generation would see him doing so. The Yismahubo, and they would wonder to each other, the Yisapru Aleha, and they would talk about it to each other, and they would ask him what's it all about, and he would say to them, it's because a flood is coming, the Yadabru Be'inyan Hamabul, and they would speak about the coming of the flood, the Kinus HaBehem of HaChayav HaHawof L'Socha, Ula Yasu Teshuvah. So the reason why it was made big, says the Ramban, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Noach to be involved in making it over a long period of time so that people would realize that he's serious and he really does believe a flood is coming and he would explain to them why a flood is coming. Possibly they will repent. That's the first answer. V'yod osu oso gedola, another reason why they made it a large ark, lima eit b'neis, to minimize the miraculous element in the ark. Kichein haderech bechol hanisim shebatora o benevim, because that is the way it is with all miracles, either in Torah or in Tanakh. La'asos ma'ashe b'yad odom la'asos ba'asho'or yihyeh b'idei shamay. A very important klal. Miracles do not happen just like that. A miracle happens after the individual has made every effort that can be made. You've got to do your part. When you've done as much as you can, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and performs a miracle. Nachshon ben Aminadov has to go into the Red Sea up to his neck, doing all that is humanly possible, and then the miracle occurs. The Chashmonoim lit the oil, knowing full well that it would not last for 8 days, which was a period of time which they needed to obtain new pure oil. But you do what you can, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you have contributed as much as you can realistically be expected to contribute, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. A very, very important clause. People cannot sit back and say miracles are going to happen. The one of the conditions under which a miracle happens, says the Ramban, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to see the effort that we are prepared to put in. And that could be another interpretation of the famous statement that we associate with various people. For miracles, you have to work that little bit harder. That's what the Ramban says. If you want a miracle to happen, then you've got to work that little bit harder. It's a very, very important class. Whilst we are speaking about this idea of Noah telling people that he's creating an ark because a flood is going to be brought, let me draw your attention to one of the most poetic ideas that I have come across in the entire part. And also a theme which speaks very, very loudly to us in these times. At the end of the flood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noah a sign that a flood will never come again to destroy the world. And the sign is a rainbow. as the Ramban points out, not that the rainbow was created only at that moment, because the phenomena that create the rainbow were in existence already at the time of creation, whatever the prismatic effect, whatever it is, only that the rainbow from now on is to be a sign. Reb Meir Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the famous Lublina Rosh Yeshiva, he asks the following question. Is the rainbow to be seen only as a sign, or is there something deeper in this item that is given and brought to Noach's attention? Listen carefully. Here's a man who's poetic in the extreme. He says like this. I believe the rainbow is a sign to Noach that he will never bring a flood again. And I believe the rainbow is a condemnation of Noach. What's the pshat? He says like this. We have to ask ourselves a question. The question is, it took Noach 120 years to build an ark. That's a long time. If in fact it took Noach 120 years to build the ark, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to build such a big ark, since, as the Ramban says, it was going to be an ace anyway? So the Ramban replies, as we've just mentioned, so that people would come and say, what are you doing? And Noach would say to them, you're sinners, and there's going to be a flood, and you're all going to be destroyed, and you have to repent, and you have to change your ways. And he was giving these droshes for 120 years. That's a long drosha. 120 years, right? Like we say, for a sermon to be immortal, it doesn't have to be everlasting. That's later. Okay. 120 years? Says Reb Meir Shapira. After 120 years, there wasn't one congregant who was moved. I mean, that's got to be grounds for dismissal. Or at least a warning. 120 years! And they're all crowding around. What is Mitzayin? What is it? Lord, you're wicked, repent! How's that going? 120 years, that's 12 times 10 years. 120 Rosh Hashanah is 120 years. Says the Meir Shapira, why didn't it help? Says the Meir Shapira, you know why it didn't help? Because Noah's heart wasn't in it. Why wasn't his heart in it? Because he said to himself, listen here, friend, these people are so far gone. Here are people, what are you talking to them about? Be living ethical and moral lives. Look at the way they dress. Look where they go. Look who they meet with. Look what they do when they meet. No good. It's a lost cause. There'll never be any redemption of that type of person at all. They are in such darkness that light cannot penetrate. That was the summation of the situation, ala Noach. Says Reb Meir Shapira, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Noach the rainbow. The rainbow, which is the most impressive of colors, is a combination of the penetration of light into the darkest clouds. And what you are being told through the rainbow, says Reb Meir Shapira, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Noach is, never believe for one moment that people are so far gone that nothing will penetrate. On the contrary, there are times when people who have sunk so low perceive an aspect of light that their souls begin to glow in a manner which outshines even the original light. And what started out as the simple light from the sun becomes the majestic colors of the rainbow, the spectrum. The mokom shabale teshuva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamod. In places where sincere penitents are standing, even the greatest tzadikim can't stand. Because when a Baal Teshuva comes back, there is a luster to that individual soul which outshines even that of the greatest tzadik. Where there were dark clouds, and then the light of Torah penetrated, then we see something which is too magnificent and too blinding for words. And therefore, according to Rav Meir Shapira, this particular rainbow is not only a sign, but it is also a condemnation. Had Noah understood what the power of Torah can be to people, and how we underestimate people, and how people, no matter how far gone, can be rescued, then we begin to look on them differently, and we speak to them differently. We speak with conviction, and we speak with confidence, and we speak with hope. So this is the particular theme which is echoed by Rav Meir Shapira. I wanted to conclude with one or two thoughts from the Tower of Babel, Dor HaFlog. And that is now in Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph. As many of you will know, the actual sin of Dor HaFlogo is not mentioned. All it says is, "Vayehi chol horet sofo echosu dvorim achodim, vayehi benoso mikedem, vayim tzubiko b'yeret shino vayeshvu shom," and they said, "Let's build a tower, and v'nasa lonu shem," which is, I suppose, translated as, "We'll make a name for ourselves." I've seen many interpretations of exactly what the sin of Dor HaFlogo was. But one again which I respectfully suggest has much to say to us in this day and age, Bahameven Yovin, is found in the writings of a rabbi who is at present a rabbi in Lud. I've never met him. But he's written a number of essays on Torah, and I have found some of them quite exciting. His name is Rabbi Ben Sion Thirer. Very interesting gentleman altogether. He says like this: the word shame appears in Tanakh and means a refuge. The woman who was put up to going to the king and pretending all sorts of things by Yoav says, "My children have died, my husband's died. Livilti sim le'ishi shame usha'eris al paneo adoma. And because of that, I have no shame usha'eris, no refuge, no remnant." Says the Ben Sion Thirer, understanding the word shame as refuge, remnant, I understand what this is all about. Here are people living shortly after the flood. What will happen if another flood comes? We'll be drowned. So you know what we do? Build a tower. The flood will only go so high. It only went so high the last time. Is v'nasa lanu shem? We'll make for ourselves a remnant and a refuge up there. And we'll escape. That's what the tower was built for. Just in case another flood comes, so we'll be in the penthouse, and all will be well. Says the Ben Sion Thirer, so what's so outlandish about such a suggestion? He wrote this sefer 1975. What's so outlandish about a thing like that? They want to build a tower, so we're going to cut down the number of casualties. What's so bad? Says the Ben Sion Thirer, an eerie statement. You know that the flood came because there was immorality in the world. Responsible leadership does not go about the problem of immorality which brings about catastrophe by concentrating their efforts only on limiting the number of casualties. You have to see to it as responsible leaders that the cause of the flood in the first place is removed. And when you remove the cause of the calamity, that's a much more responsible attitude than concentrating on cutting down the number of casualties. The tower wasn't meant to tackle the problem at its root, which was immorality. The problem was to leave immorality right. And if there is catastrophe, then there are a number of people who will be encouraged to take preventative measures as a result of which they will be saved from the calamity which must surely follow such conduct. Says the Ben Sion, that was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset about. You do not solve problems as responsible leaders by concentrating your efforts on cutting down the number of casualties. You have to get to the root cause and tackle it where it has to be tackled. The Hameven Yovin. A very, very strong comment here. And we see here, as even in an interpretation like this which comes to us, whether it is not pshat, whether it is only a homiletic, but it speaks to us as the poet says, in tones plain and simple. Very, very clear. The problem, unfortunately, is that people are afraid to meet the issue head on. And they start netzke petzke, to quote the famous phrase. They refuse to say, this is what it has to be done, and this is what we have to do. And where the need is for morality, the problem cannot be solved in the pharmacy. That's what the problem is. That's what the man is saying. And we're speaking about moral issues. And we cannot start speaking about the people who say, you can't change people, and if it'll be, it'll be. And what we can do is we can... You don't bring people back to morality by showing them what's available in an ad on telly. That's not the way it's done. And that's the sadness today. We look back over the career of Noah, whatever way we want to interpret it. But one thing we can say is we have a man here who decided for better or for worse, according to some, that it is better to save his own family. There are others who decided that he said, no, I'm not going to save humanity because humanity cannot be saved. And Reb Meir Shapira says, I disagree with everybody. I say that humanity can be saved. I say that people will listen if you present them with the truth and if you present them with a non-evasive approach to these matters. What people will not accept from leaders is when leaders say, well, we really don't want to make any judgmental pronouncements, but we are willing to take advantage of technology to see that there are as little as casualties as possible. This is the real problem. So the Meir Shapir is reminding us that if we speak to people and we speak to them sincerely and we bring some sunshine into their lives, there is no question that they will respond. That is why when Moshe Rabbeinu was dying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Hein korvu yamech olamos. And Moshe Rabbeinu cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you announce my death with the word Hein? Did I not extol you with Hein? Hein l'asher elokecha ha-shamayim u-shemei ha-shamayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh yes, you extolled me with Hain. But you also upset me with the use of the word Hain. Because you said, V'hein lo yaminu li. What's the Midrash talking about? Playing with words? Says the Torah to Mima. The word Hain does not mean behold. The word Hain means indeed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hein korvu yamech olamos. Indeed, you are going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not very diplomatic. That's not very sensitive. Everybody knows we've got to die. Hein korvu yamech olamos. You're going to die. Oh, indeed you're going to die. That's not nice. I used Hein in a more elevating context. Hein l'ashem elokecha. Hashemayim. Shmei Hashemayim. Indeed, the heavens belong to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, I remember that, but I remember something else. When you were told to go back and speak to the Bnei Yisrael and bring to them the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said to me, Behein lo yaminu li, indeed they won't believe me. You used Hein to write off an entire people. Hein lo yaminu li, indeed they won't listen to me. And that's your punishment now, that when your death is announced with Hein. The greatest tragedy is We underestimate the humanity and intelligence of people. The sadness is that we have not come to them with words that they understand, A, are meaningful, and B, are sincere. I do not say that we will always succeed, but to throw in the towel before the battle has commenced is the ultimate tragedy. Behelo yaminuli. Many, many lessons to be learned from Noah. He's an enigmatic character. Some rush to his defense, and some rush to condemn him. But of one thing we are certain. In the ark, he brought only his nearest and dearest, while around him, humanity was dying. And that's most probably what he was not allowed to see. Because when he would have seen what has happened, he would have realized that he should have made stronger efforts. That's the scene that would have broken his heart. That's my opinion, why he didn't have a window in the ark. He had a sower. Because he tried. But he knew in his heart the part it was half-hearted. And for him to see what was happening to an entire world, he would have said to himself, I should have tried harder. And that's something that would have killed him. And that, I think, is the scene that we have to leave behind with Parshas Noach. Of one man floating, and of humanity sinking, and what might have been. As Alfred Toynbee said, the definition of tragedy is the difference between what is and what might have been. We leave it over there.